So, you know what's interesting about the parable of the mustard seed? Is that it does not have a direct interpretation from Jesus. You know, so some parables, they tell you what they mean at the bottom, you know. The parable of the tares explained or something of that nature. Well, there isn't one for this one. There's also not one for the leavening, the good leavening, I should say. We're going to look at that one too, actually. But what I want to do is share with you some interpretations that I've heard in my research and into the topic, and I think they really are relevant to our faith and can be encouraging for us. I think I'm going to give about three of those. So let's take a look at the passage. We'll start out with the passage here in Matthew 13, 31, and 32. It says, he presented another parable to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. It's not actually a mustard seed, it's like one. Which a man took and sowed in a field, in his field, and this is smaller than all the other seeds. But when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. So let's talk a little bit about the mustard tree, bush, whatever you want to call it. It's not the stuff that's in your French's mustard or in your Dijon mustard. That's a different kind of mustard plant. They're not related, actually, but that's something that grows about 5 feet tall and is a very herbaceous annual plant. The birds can't really nest in its branches or anything like that. So that's not the kind of mustard that Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about a tree which leaves could be pressed or what have you, and seeds could be crushed into something resembling what we might call mustard, but something that they would have called mustard. And that is Salvadora persica, okay? And that's it right there. It's called the mustard bush, and it's also called the toothbrush tree. That's kind of cool, huh? You can cut the branches and peel the bark back, and the inside of the tree frays like a little toothbrush, and people used to use it to, or they still do, actually, in Africa and lots of places out of the way, they use it to brush their chiclets, you know, scrub the chiclets clean. So that's good. But anyway, so this tree has a dual purpose. It's a mustard-flavored tree, and its seeds are about 1.5 to 2 millimeters in diameter, so they're really small. And it grows into a very large thing. Like, look at that. How many birds do you think are in there? However, it can get up to 20 feet tall when it's fully grown and kind of form around like this trunkish type thing. You know, like a lilac bush is really big. We call it a bush, but it, you know, it kind of could be a tree too, right? So that's what Jesus is talking about when he's talking about a mustard tree, not a little plant that we might call mustard today. So what is the interpretation of this? Well, obviously it's something that is very small that becomes very big. And if we look at the parable about the leaven, it's something that's very similar, right? It says in Matthew 13, 33, he says, he spoke to another parable to them, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, that rhymes, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of flour until it was all leavened. So where did these ancient peoples get leavening from anyway? Well, commercial leavening, like, you know, you buy yeast in a little jar and it's very convenient. That has not been available for more than, I want to say 150 or maybe close to 200 years now. But before that, they had to use all kinds of weird things. And what people used to use back in the time of Jesus, if they happened to be European, they might use beer barm. It's a fermentation waste that comes off of making beer. But probably more likely in Jesus' area, they would have used grape skins. Which contain a wild yeast, which would have leavened the bread, okay? that would have acted like leavening, something like these grape skins. And anybody that has ever made bread can tell you that when you add yeast or leavening to the dough, it expands, right? It gets really big. And what most people did back in the day is they would keep what's called a starter, okay? They'd have a lump that has that leavening in it, and they continue to grow bread off of that because it's hard to find wild yeast. You know, you don't always get lucky with using the grape skins or whatever other things you might come up with. So yeast is like a lucky find, you know? So they would grow bread continuously by feeding it and making more dough. And, you know, that's why a lot of Italian sourdough, it's an old, old bread, because that's how they used to do it a long time ago. And they all have their different tastes to them because they have different leavening agents. And I'm sure other things too in there, but anyway, so like the leavening is just this little grape skin that you stick in there. And also the mustard seed is this little tiny seed, 1.5 to 2 millimeters, which is micro, it's really small. And they become really big things, you know. And so obviously that's one for sure thing that we know that Jesus is talking about. And what could he be talking about as far as what it is? It could be the spread of the gospel, right? How the gospel spread to all the world. It started out with one really small group of people, you know, these 12 apostles and some disciples that were around, maybe 100 or 150 of them or something of that nature, that stuck around in Jesus and him teaching. I mean, think about how little that is when you think about the entire world getting the gospel. When you think about that, it came from such a small group of people. I mean, 100 people, that's like, I don't know. Down south, it would be a small church, right? Up here, it'd be pretty good size. But anyway, so it started with a small group, and it spread to all these people. Another interpretation might be how it started out with just a few people being saved at Pentecost, you know, 3,000 people, and then this backwater edge of the Roman Empire province, Judea, which nobody wanted, basically, except for it had some favorable trade routes, ended up being the birthplace of the most expansive religion that's ever been known to man, right? It spread all over the entire Roman Empire, basically taking it over. It spread into India and all the way into China. It went everywhere. So, and people became Christians all over the known world. So that could be another thing that it's talking about. And I think, though, these two interpretations seem to be a pretty good explanation of what he's talking about. But I like to think of maybe another one that is a little bit more personal, and maybe a little reflective, that maybe each of us, maybe all of us have a little garden, you know, in our heart that we give to the Lord, you know, and the Lord's our gardener, and that seed is planted in our hearts, that little mustard seed, right? And it continues to grow and fill us until we're full of that mustard tree, right? That we're full of the God is full inside of us, right? The Holy Spirit. It makes me think of another parable with the mustard seed, right? That Jesus uses, talking about something a little bit more personal, something that is inside of each person, in Matthew 17:20, and he said to them, "Because of the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." So he says, even if you have this little tiny mustard seed within you that represents your faith, look at what you can do, right? But that makes a whole mustard tree seem pretty daunting, like a big task. But I think it makes sense. So it falls to us, though, how much we're going to let that mustard seed grow, how much we're going to let the kingdom of God kind of flow out through us and become this massive mustard plant inside of us. You know, when I think about, you know, what kind of soil that we are to receive that seed, you know, that's another parable, right? All these different types of soil. Sometimes the mustard seed falls on the path that gets crushed, but sometimes it finds some good places to grow. And once it finds a good place to grow, what does your mustard seed need to have to thrive? Well, in order to be successful, in order to start growing, any gardener will tell you that a mustard seed, or any other seed for that matter, pretty much, I can't think of anyone that doesn't, I'm sure you might be able to, but they pretty much all need water, don't they, to start their journey towards being a successful plant? Isn't that interesting? And what do you do when you're a Christian and you're ready to start your new journey in life, when you're ready to sprout and become transformed and renewed in your mind? Well, you need water too, don't you? We need to be baptized, don't we? And then once we sprout, in order to grow, in order to become a well-established tree, we might need some fertilizer. Just like all these different plants in the garden need fertilizer, nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, it naturally is occurring in the soil, so you get a little start there. But anybody will tell you that gardens, that gets depleted pretty quickly, and that you need to artificially enhance what's there in the soil and put that nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium back into the soil and continue to foster those plants so that they grow and become strong and very productive and fruitful. And I think that there's a couple things that we can do by adding fertilizer to our mustard tree. I think that, you know, I've talked about this a lot of times, had lessons about it even, that we need to read the Bible. We need to understand God's will, right? We need to know what He wants us to do. How are we going to grow if we don't know the path to take, right? The Bible is the directions or the path that tells us how to get to the end. And if you don't read it, how are you going to make success? How are you going to build on being a servant to God? And you know, as important as knowledge is, we also have to make sure that we put that knowledge into practice in our daily living. When we learn something new, we grow from that. You know, we don't just file it in some cabinet somewhere, especially not the circular file. We need to remember the things that are in the Bible and put them into practice. You know, if I learn from the Bible that I'm supposed to treat my neighbor with kindness, then I need to go ahead and do that. Because I don't know how it is for you, but if I'm told something, I might hang on to it for a little while, but then I'll probably forget it, and I'll probably forget how important that it is. When I put it into practice, when I do it and it becomes part of my everyday life, then it really starts to sink in. It really makes sense to me a lot more, you know? You can look at a diagram on how to build a bicycle, but when you start putting the components together, then the diagram actually makes more sense. At least it is that way for me. I don't know about you, but if I see that diagram and I start off and I'm like, oh yeah, this goes here, this goes here, this goes here, and I can look at the diagram and check my work, then it works for me better that way because I'm actually doing it and it makes sense to me on a spatial level rather than just reading words on a page and some poorly written instructions, you know, that are probably messed up because it was made in China or something, you know. So it makes sense to like put the knowledge into practice, to do it, to feel that and become that knowledge, you know, as part of our life. And then with all that fertilizer, that stuff that we grow and make ourselves closer to God with, then eventually we can grow all the way up and have fruit ourselves and produce little seeds, little mustard seeds that are, you know, those seeds of wisdom that God uses to plant in other people and give that and put in their gardens so that they can grow their own mustard tree, right? And that they can spread the gospel as well. And pretty soon, you know, everybody in the whole block is going to have a mustard tree growing in their garden, right? Because that's what we want to do. We want to get to the point where we can teach and share with other people, that we can let people know about the kingdom of the Lord, let people know about the kingdom of God, and how it can change their life. how it can make things just make sense and click together. I think that all of us that really take our faith seriously and we pray to God and we ask for strength in times of darkness and are thankful in times of light, we can share those experiences with other people and how they make us better people in general. Because they really do, don't they? I mean, when you look back and you look at all the times when you relied on God, when you prayed to God and you had the strength to get through because of that, it builds our character, doesn't it? It makes us better people. I really feel that. That is definitely a true thing. So we want to get to the point where we can grow, become strong in the Lord, have a big, powerful mustard tree in us, and then share that, share our fruit with other people, the fruit that we learn from God. So now the question is left up to you. If you have not received your little mustard seed, then I want to encourage you to accept that from the Lord. That take that knowledge and that wisdom and believe in Him, believe in what He can do to change your life, and then thoroughly water that mustard seed in the waters of baptism. I know it's a ridiculous analogy, but it fits, right? It does. And we need to be baptized anyway. And then grow from there and become a mighty tree. So if that's something that you want to do, then I want to encourage you to come forward as we stand and we sing our closing song.